This happened to me 2 years ago during a school trip to a rural farm for Harvest Festival. I was in ninth grade at the time. My teacher went to this big farm outside of town, the kind that turns into a corn maze and pumpkin patch in October. It was supposed to be a fun day out, just apple cider, hay rides, and carnival games. But it ended up being one of the scariest experiences of my life. We got there at around 10 in the morning. The place was huge. Barns, open fields, scarecrows everywhere. They even had a petting zoo. The weather was windy and the sky looked overcast, but no one thought much of it. About halfway through the trip, while we were walking near the corn maze, a strong gust of wind blew my hat off. I took off after it without thinking. I made a dumb move. My hat rolled past some hay bales and around one of the older barns. By the time I caught it, I was at the back end of the farm. The area looked abandoned. The ground was muddy and uneven, and there was this old weathered shed tucked behind the barn. It looked like it hadn't been used in years. I was all set to return when I heard something from inside. At first, it sounded like rustling footsteps, suggesting that someone was inside. Then, a soft voice spoke to me.
Hey, can you help me? I've got a broken leg. I need a hand.
I stopped. It was definitely a woman's voice, quiet, almost pleading. I looked around. No one was nearby. My group was completely out of sight. An old chain lock closed the door, but it remained unlatched as I stepped up to it. I hesitated, then pushed it open just a little. The shed was dim inside, lit only by the cracks of sunlight coming through the warped wood ceiling. There was hay scattered on the ground, and in the middle of it sat a woman. Her back was hunched, and she buried her face into her palms. I got concerned, thinking she's really hurt.
Are you okay? I can go get someone.
But she shook her head, still keeping her face covered.
No, please. Just help me. Come closer.
Something about her voice felt wrong, like she was trying to sound weak. I thought for a second, and then told her,
I better get help. I'll call my teacher.
That's when she slowly started to raise her head. I'll never forget what I saw. Her skin. It was covered in oozing yellowish boils. Some were already ruptured, leaking a mix of pus and blood down her neck and arms. Her eyes were wide and bloodshot. She was smiling at me. Corners of her lips had dried blood. I stumbled backward, shivering in horror. She extended her hand in an attempt to reach me, but I was unwilling to remain there for even a moment longer. I turned around to run, but before I could get out of the door, she lunged forward and grabbed my wrist. She was incredibly fast and strong in an instant. Her fingers were ice cold, and her nails were long, cracked, and filthy. She dug them deeper into my skin. I felt a sharp pain as blood started to run down my arm.
Leave me! Let me go!
And the whole time she laughed, not just a little, a full-blown hysterical laugh that echoed in the shed like something from a nightmare. I kept screaming, and she continued laughing like it was amusement to her. Then, just as suddenly, she let go, still laughing. I ran as fast as I could toward the main part of the farm. I didn't care who saw me. I found my teacher, pale and out of breath, and told him what happened. He didn't really believe me at first, but when he saw my arm filled with scratches and blood, he asked me to take him to that woman. When we got to the shed, the door was wide open. But the woman was gone. The only thing inside was that same pile of hay, and in the corner was a stack of children's clothes, small jackets, and a tiny pair of shoes, like something a little kid would have worn to a pumpkin patch. The teacher called the farm staff, but they brushed it off, saying no one should have been in that part of the property and that maybe I had imagined it. But the bruises and cuts on my arm said otherwise. The investigation revealed nothing about that woman or the children's clothing. When I got home, my parents were freaked out. They took me straight to urgent care. The doctor cleaned the wounds and gave me a tetanus shot, plus a bunch of vaccinations in case it was something worse. I didn't sleep for days. To this day, I still have faint scars on my arm where her nails dug in. And every October, when the air gets cold and the wind picks up, I can still hear that voice in my head.
Can you help me?
I've never gone back to that farm, and I never will. This happened while I was in 7th grade. I've never told anyone the whole story before, because back then, no one believed me, and I doubt anyone ever will. Our science teacher arranged a school trip for us. It was a nature preserve about an hour from our school. It was one of those places with trails for hiking, old ranger cabins, and signs that told you about the animals that lived there. I expected it to be a relaxing day with friends. We stopped for lunch in a clearing around noon. I remember sitting on a log and laughing with a few friends when I dropped my water bottle. It rolled down a little hill and into the bushes, where it was lost. I thought I'd just run down, get it, and come back in a minute because the teacher was busy trying to keep the group together. I snuck away when no one was looking. While looking for it, I went a little too far down the slope. It was softer and mossier on the ground, and the trees were close together. I saw my bottle on the ground next to a fallen log. I picked it up. As I turned around to go back, I saw a man crouched on the ground picking mushrooms. He was wearing an old flannel shirt, paired with dirty cargo pants. He had this worn-out backpack hung on his shoulder. I thought he was just another person out for a walk. I thought he didn't even notice me because his eyes were so fixated on the colorful mushrooms. But then he asked,
"Are you looking for something?"
I stopped. His voice wasn't really threatening. It was just odd. I held up my bottle, saying,
Not anymore. Found it.
That's when he turned to me. I swear, his smile wasn't bright. It didn't even get to his eyes.
"Does anyone know you're here?"
His words drained the color from my face.
What?
I said. He got up and moved toward me.
"Girls like you often stray from their paths in these woods."
I nervously chuckled.
Okay, that's a little creepy.
But he didn't laugh. He looked at me up and down, then pointed further back into the woods.
"Do you want to see something old?"
I shook my head and moved back.
"No thanks."
He smiled bigger this time.
"Back there's a tree, struck by lightning 7 times. If you press your ear against the bark, some say it bleeds."
At that point, all my instincts told me to leave. I turned around and started walking quickly back to the clearing with my heart racing. And just in time, I heard someone say my name. Mikey, one of the other students, was calling out for me. He must have seen that I was gone. I turned around and the man was back to picking up the mushrooms. It was as if he never saw me. My hands were sweaty and I was terrified from the inside. What kind of a lunatic talks like this to a teenage girl? Was he deliberately trying to scare the crap out of me? He was successful in his attempt. When I reached the top and could see my class, I looked back one last time. But this time, I didn't see him. He was gone. A moment later, Mikey came crashing through the brush, out of breath, and asked if I was okay. I told him everything, and he suggested I should tell our teacher about this man. I took my teacher to the same spot where I met the man. But when we got there, we couldn't see any footprints. No man, no mushrooms. There were only quiet trees and moss, accompanied by a heavy, eerie silence that left my skin crawling. My teacher thought it was just a camper or a weird person playing a prank. She told me to stay close to the group from now on. I started looking things up when I got home that night. I typed "Missing Girls, California Nature Reserve" into the search bar, and I found some pretty chilling info. 3 girls my age have died over the years. The last one happened in the late 2000s. Everyone went missing in or near the preserve. One of them, Lucy Garrison, looked so much like me that it scared me. She had brown eyes and a yellow backpack, just like me. She disappeared without a trace. I never went back to Pine Hollow after that. I still dream about it sometimes, though. I see the man in the woods. I hear him speak again.
"Want to see something from the past?"
And in the dream, I go after him. Because in the dream, No one calls out my name. I was in my junior year of high school back then. Our school organized a field trip to the State Botanical Gardens. It was supposed to be a chill day, accompanied by fresh air and a break from boring lectures. I'm into photography, so I brought my camera to take some pictures for my portfolio. Our class split into small groups, with the teachers and chaperones reminding us to stay within certain areas. I was walking a little ahead of everyone, stopping now and then to take photographs of different plants and fountains. After about 30 minutes, I found this secluded path lined with these hanging wisteria vines, the kind of spot that looks like it belongs in a dream. I was adjusting my lens, crouched to get a better angle, when I heard a man's voice behind me. "Nice camera," he said. I turned around, and there was this guy standing a few feet away. He was in his mid-30s, maybe older, dressed in a ball cap, gray hoodie, and black trousers. He had a pretty average-looking face. A camera bag slung across his chest made me think he too was interested in photography.
"Thanks,"
I replied with a casual smirk.
"You a photography student?"
I nodded.
"Yeah, kind of."
He smiled.
"You got a sharp eye."
I thanked him again and turned back to what I was doing, hoping that was the end of it. But then I heard the click of a camera. I thought he might be taking pictures of the vines too, but then 3 to 4 random sounds of clicks occurred. I was facing my back at him, and something didn't feel right, so I spun around. He was pointing his camera right at me, and he was taking my pictures. He didn't even pretend to hide it. I froze for a second, then protested.
"Please don't take pictures of me."
He didn't stop or apologize. He didn't even look bothered that I was seeing him capturing me against my will. I yelled at him this time.
"I told you not to take my pictures!"
He just smiled like this was very normal to him. Then he walked off, just turned and wandered down the path like nothing happened. I was shocked and terrified by his careless demeanor. What does he think of himself? But I didn't want to create any scene, so I ignored it. I figured he was just another weird creep. I took a few more pictures of that same spot and then caught up with my group. But the entire time, the fact that this man had my photos kept bothering me. I continued telling myself it was probably harmless, so I didn't tell anyone. Yet. About an hour later, we were near the Butterfly Conservatory when I saw him again. He was standing near a bench across the courtyard. Only this time, he wasn't looking at me. He was pointing his camera at Gina, another girl in our class. Gina didn't notice, but I did. He was taking pictures of her from behind a group of bushes, like he had thought no one could see him. It finally hit me. He wasn't here to take photographs of plants or fountains. He's here to capture the young girls like a predator. I couldn't keep it in anymore. I went straight to the teacher and pointed at the man. Our teacher immediately called security and told them about this man. I watched him getting dragged out by the security. He was yelling and trying to explain how it wasn't his fault. I was stunned by his audacity in trying to prove himself innocent after committing such a disgusting act. We were all told to stay together, but he never turned up again. Some people thought it was no big deal. Others were clearly shaken, especially Jenna when she found out. That should have been the end of it. But it wasn't. That night, I was lying in bed, still a little on edge, and decided to scroll through Reddit. I follow a lot of photography threads, so I typed in a few search terms just for fun. Botanical garden, flower, photography, stuff like that. I wish I hadn't. One thread caught my attention. It was on a weird subreddit I'd never seen before, full of low-res, creepy-looking photos of random girls. It was titled, "She Smiled at Me." I clicked on it. The first photo was blurry, taken from behind some bushes. It was a shot of me, crouched under the wisteria vines, camera in hand. The caption said,
"She talked to me. I think she liked me."
There were others, too, including one with Jenna earlier that day. I don't know how he posted them so fast. I reported the thread and sent screenshots to my teacher. The school contacted the authorities, but since there was no real ID, there wasn't much they could do. I didn't go out alone with my camera after that, and I never went back to that garden. I kept checking Reddit for an entire month just to see if there was any update from that creep. However, I was unable to locate any additional images similar to those. A thought of him still secretly taking pictures of girls while lurking in public spaces makes my skin crawl to this day.